FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 1-8-19. Well, a month's almost a third gone. Time is an amazing thing. Somehow we never have enough of it. We always feel like we have too much of it. And then in the end, it goes very quickly. As someone once told me, the days drag on, but the years move quickly. Well, somebody you've been listening to for years already, whose advice, sage advice, and commentary has definitely helped. But first, before we get into that, the email for you to join the show and participate is kl@kerrylutz.com. Our good friend Craig Hemke with us now from tfmetalsreport.com. Craig, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. It's going to be quite a doozy, so buckle in.
You think?
And let's get ready.
You think?
Yeah.
I think you're correct on that call, Craig. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. We got a government shutdown. We've got gold acting in a completely different way than it has for the past several years. We've got a lot going on here.
Yeah, you know, and I think, let's just start. I'll just pick something out. People need to be aware of what happened at the end of December, because, you know, stuff always happens under the cover of darkness and holiday and weekend, right? Remember, like all the
reserve
news releases. Yeah. Well, if folks remember back as we headed into Christmas, so the stock market was really just collapsing, falling 1-3% in a day. It got to the point where it was 20% off its highs, breaking that what everybody, oh, this is the longest bull market run since 10 years, longest bull market run ever. And then the curious news hit on Christmas Eve of all days, that Secretary Mnuchin, on my site, we call him Secretary Smokin' Hot Wife because, boy. Anyway, Secretary Mnuchin, he had convened a meeting of the president's working group on capital markets or financial markets, whatever they call it.
What do we call that? What's our nickname for that organization?
The slang term is the Plunge Protection Team. And this is a real deal. I mean, people, you know, listening to you and I probably think, oh, yeah, I've heard it all before, the Plunge Protection Team. No, look it up. Look it up. It was created in 1988 by President Reagan.
Correct.
In response to the events of October 1987. And they thought we needed a way, you know, to quickly coordinate a response should there ever be any financial crises. It was convened several times by George Bush in 2007 and 2008 when everything was taking place. And all of a sudden on Christmas Eve, Mnuchin calls a meeting of the Plunge Protection Team. He gets the CEOs of the six major banks on the phone. And steps were then taken to try to support the stock market, because immediately on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas, the S&P soared, the Dow was up 1,100 points, biggest one-day gain in 10 years or something like that. And the combined gain now since Christmas Eve is 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
Well, isn't that a coincidence? I mean,
yeah. Well, that's just it. What people need to understand is, okay, it's a couple of things. One, it shows you the degree to which markets are controlled, managed, whatever, to the extent that they can be. by the central banks and the big banks, you know, and the politicians giving, you know, their marching orders, that kind of thing. There are no generic regular markets anymore where things trade off of fundamentals or technicals or PE ratios or anything like that. Floating the boat, growing the monetary base so that you can service the debt, it's all too important at this end game stage. And so, people need to realize the extent to which things are controlled. Second, holy cow, how close were we to some kind of complete collapse in December? Not only was the plunge protection team called in, but then we started getting these notices from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency and the FDIC about how, oh no, the banks are capitalized just fine. Well, wait a second, hold on just a minute. I didn't realize we were concerned about the banks at this time.
Yeah. Right. What's with that? Nothing to see here. Move along, right?
Exactly. So there's that's just one little kind of flashing warning sign here as we move into 2019. And like I said, this year is going to be a doozy. There are a lot of things that are all combining and kind of coming to a head. And you and I are going to have to keep a close eye on things this year.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, the political situation. Look, we were talking before the call. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a moron. Okay, she's a complete moron. Like, I got a nasty comment on YouTube saying, you can't just call her stupid daddy, you know, she's the future and you're the past. And I couldn't argue with that. But I can just call her stupid, because when somebody espouses ideas, concepts, and policies that have been completely disproven by reality, shown to be absolute consummate failures, then there is no other explanation for them proposing this. Either they have a devious intent at heart, or they're stupid. And I would prefer to think that she's stupid rather than devious.
Yeah, and sadly, whoever said that she's the future, they're probably right. The way she has been educated, the way, you know, all millennials have been educated, you know, on college campuses about the virtues of socialism and all that kind of stuff. I mean, look at the support for Bernie Sanders. I mean, the guy is an avowed socialist, you know, who took his honeymoon in Moscow, right?
Yeah.
But yet, you know, anytime you see a Bernie bumper sticker on a car, it's typically somebody that's 30 or younger. That's probably where the country is headed, because eventually those people will have real power in the next couple of decades. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, though, more pertinent, I think, is something that you and I have discussed all through last year, and it's political risk. And what I mean by that is, I mean, there's no doubting. I mean, even though we're using government statistics, which we know are manufactured and managed, you know, to prop up the economy and the stock market, but even using those flawed government statistics, there's no doubt that out of the kind of malaise of the Obama administration, that there was a pump of energy and life when Trump got elected. You know, and the expectations of tax cuts and cuts in regulation, and, you know, there was business optimism grew, and consumer confidence hit levels not seen since 10, 12 years ago, all that kind of stuff combined to finally make, you know, whatever they state as GDP to grow. Problem is, though, that that's transitory. That's, you know, that's a transient thing, because confidence can be cut and political capital be spent. And that's what political risk is all about. And with the Democrats taking control of the House, you can be assured that in the weeks and months ahead, there will be about 20 additional investigations started of the Trump administration by 20 different congressional committees. Nothing will happen in Congress. This gridlock over the wall is just is emblematic of that. And this entire Trump agenda, if you want to call it that, will grind to a halt. There won't be anything done. Maybe he can do some stuff, you know, through executive order and fiat like Obama used to do, but nothing major is going to happen. There aren't going to be any more tax cuts, things like that. And so then that trickles down into economic confidence. And the same folks that, you know, and business owners and everybody else that were optimistic in 2017 will start to say, I don't know. I think I'm going to put off making that investment or buying that new equipment and that kind of thing. And everything begins to slow down. You can take that and combine it with these evil bankers at the Fed that are intent on hiking interest rates. Again, remember who owns the Fed? It's their member banks. They're intent on hiking interest rates, ostensibly just so they can cut them again. Give me a break. Put all that together, inverted yield curve, political risk, economy slowing. all of this combines to create a pretty nasty stew as we go through the year. And eventually, we move away from rate hikes and that kind of thing to a regime of rate cuts.
Yeah.
And even more QE, carry. All of this is coming. This year will play out a lot like 2010. And if you want me to give you a little brief history lesson, a reminder for everybody, I'll be happy to do it.
Sure. Please do.
Well, let's go back in time then. You know, the financial crisis was in 2008. In March of 2009, Ben Bernanke announced quantitative easing, QE1. It was supposed to be a one-off. It was not. It was not monetization of the debt. Well, hold on, wait a second. Time out. You're taking the Fed's power to create fiat currency, and you're buying government debt. Mm-hmm. That's not monetization. No, that's not what? It's like the old question of what's the definition? Your definition of is, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. That was supposed to be a one-off, right? And so they ran the first QE program. And by early 2010, you'll recall CNBC, Bloomberg, all the rest. I mean, you couldn't go 5 minutes without somebody saying the term green shoots. Remember that?
I remember. That was quite the meme.
That's right. The weeds were growing out of the rubble of the financial crisis, and things were improving, and the green shoots were everywhere and all that kind of stuff. And in 2010, that was the story. Well, the problem was it didn't have any legs. Eventually, it rolled over. And by the summer of 2010, people started to worry that the economy was slowing again. We were slipping back into recession and everything else that went with it. By the fall of 2010, November specifically, Ben Bernanke announced QE2, $600 billion more of fiat money creation to buy bonds and mortgage-backed securities from their member banks and all that kind of stuff. And the rest then is history. We had QE3, everything else that went with it. Okay, well, here we are in 2019. The economy is supposedly strong. The Fed is trimming their balance sheet, you know, normalization.
Everything's whatever, great.
All that stuff, right? And what's going to happen is as the economy slows, there are not going to be any more rate hikes. Eventually, we're going to be talking about rate cuts. And then as, the U.S. government has to borrow, I think net treasury issuance this year is something like $1.6 trillion of new borrowing plus the refunding of the bonds and notes that are coming due this year. Somebody's got to buy that stuff. It will be the Fed. It will be the other central banks chipping in to try to, you know, fund everything, monetize the debt again. And we're right back to where we were in 2010, slowing economy and more QE. And what happened in 2010? Well, the price of silver went sideways through the first half of the year between about 16 and 18. And then it went from 18 to 48. The price of gold began 2010 at $1,100, but ended the year at $1,400 for a pretty nifty move of about 30%. Then, of course, once we reach a crisis of confidence, S&P downgrading U.S. government debt, debt ceiling debate, government shutdowns, all that stuff in August of 2011 – gold, of course, got to 1920. Doesn't that all kind of sound familiar? You know, the whole history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes, you know?
Sounds like what Yogi Berra would call a deja vu all over again.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And so that's where we're headed. I'm convinced this year is going to be a lot like 2010, and the performance of the metals will be a lot like 2010. And then as we roll into – I mean, and this time it's different, though, Kerry, because – there was this idea that was put out there that, again, this is all just a one-off. The Fed's got everything under control. Eventually, they're going to – you know, they've been talking about raising rates since 2014 and normalizing their balance sheet. I mean, this has been going on now for 3 or 4 years, creating this illusion that, you know, this is all normal and the Fed exactly had a plan and all that. Well, now when this all kicks in again later this year, people are going to go, wait a second. Hold on just a minute. There's no plan. There's no – why would I have confidence in what they're doing? This is all garbage. And there won't be any turning back around this time. There won't be, you know, a reinstitution of confidence in going back to normal. And so this time is going to be different. And if anything, you know, at least folks have had this last 3 or 4 or 5 year period to kind of survive and prepare and plan. But all of this is coming to a head this year and people need to be on their toes.
Yeah, I'm calling this the new economy, because if the last 10 years was the new economy, we're going into something wholly different, something completely order of magnitude different. and diminished expectations, all of that, everything that symbolizes the millennial generation, I think we're going to see here big time.
Yeah. And it's a most likely kind of a gradual process, but you can, again, getting back to what we began with, the talk about the stock market, calling in the plunge protection team just because, you know, the S&P fell 20%. I mean, aren't corrections supposed to happen?
I thought so.
Does that perhaps give you an example of just how tenuous the situation likely is just below the surface? And that's where we are. And again, none of this is getting any better. It's not like all of a sudden the Democrats are not going to control the Congress for the next 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of this is happening. I'm just completely certain. And it all kind of fits back together. You've got governments around the world, other adversaries, if you will, the U.S. taking steps to move away from the dollar. Again, a gradual process. But every step they take reduces demand globally for dollars. And anybody that took Econ 101 in college knows that if you reduce the demand of something while increasing the supply, you drive the price down, the value down. Mm-hmm. And so the dollar is going to decline as well in time. And again, all of this stuff has tremendous long-term ramifications. And it all begins apparently here this year.
Mm-hmm. So this is really a transitional year, very important year in terms of the direction of things, where we are headed, what you need to do to keep your life and your fortune, your family together. We all thought it was going to happen a lot sooner. Maybe they can put it off a couple more years. Maybe they can't. But it looks like the momentum, the movement, the trend is inexorable.
And Carrie, I'm struck while I'm listening, while you were saying that, I'm remembering something from this is at least 10 years ago. Before the last job I had, the last corporate job I had before I ventured off on my own, eventually set up TF Metals Report. I did a lot of traveling, kind of a traveling salesperson consultant job. And, you know, you kill the time by listening to the radio and that kind of thing. Well, back in the, 2004, 2008, 2009 timeframe, I actually used to listen to Glenn Beck in the morning.
Oh, God, really?
Back then, he was very entertaining.
That's before he started crying all the time, right?
Right. Yeah. It was political events. It was stuff going on, but it was entertaining. It was funny at the same time.
Correct.
And
yeah,
so it was a fun thing to do as you're driving down the road, drinking your coffee, trying to get to your first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I remember one thing that he used to say, and I'm thinking about it now, and that's why I bring it up. He said that the political pendulum swings, but unlike a regular pendulum that kind of loses momentum and goes to the center, the political pendulum swings farther each time. And what he was talking about then was Barack Obama and his politics swinging the pendulum way out to the left, way farther than we'd been. Mm-hmm. And he said, you just watch. The reaction to him will swing the pendulum even farther out to the right the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say that.
Sure enough.
Right. And so now we get into 2020 with a reaction to Trump swing the pendulum even farther now out to the left next time.
Yeah. What happens next, huh?
And then what will that look like? And so you start to factor all the stuff in. My God, Carrie, the first Democrat presidential debates are coming up in June. June.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a show. Who can socialize and give away the most stuff and
make you
believe that there won't be any repercussions from it, right?
So let's just say we somehow make it through this year alive and we get to 2020 and the election is between Donald Trump and, like a Bernie Sanders, way out there, socialist leftist. And because they're so energized and angry and everything else, somehow that way out there socialist leftist wins. With a Democrat Congress and maybe a Democrat Senate, what in the world kind of policies are going to be put in place by 2021? I mean, the debt is going to skyrocket through $2 trillion a year. You can only imagine where all this is headed. And again, that is why we have TF Metals Report. That's a message we have espoused now for, gosh, almost 10 years. And I'll be damned if it isn't all seeming to come together right here, right now in 2019.
Yeah, who would have believed it could actually happen? But sure enough, it's happened.
There we go. Yeah, it's the happening. Math is the math.
The math is the math. And we'll leave it at that. So the best place to find you is still tfmetalsreport.com. And most of it's free, but you can join the forums, which are really engaging and entertaining and enlightening as well.
Yes, and you get my analysis every day. I write a post about everything that's going on in the world, and we record a podcast in the afternoon, and we do all of that for a whopping 40 cents a day, about 12 bucks a month.
That's
so
pretty good.
I like to think it's pretty good value.
I think so. Hey, well, if you enjoyed the show, please, if you're on YouTube, subscribe, like, and share it. If you're just listening elsewhere, just go ahead and share it with people who you think need to know the information, the ideas that we talk about. We're all about ideas on the Financial Survival Network. Check out our Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz. And Craig, always a pleasure to talk with you. And Happy New Year, and we'll be talking with you a lot more throughout the course of 2019.
All the best to you and your listeners as well, Kerry. And yep, I suspect we're going to have to talk quite a bit this year. Hang in there and keep the faith, my friend.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.